Mr. President, Germany and Sweden had questions in advance regarding isolation of prisoner with severe mental illness. Norway has, over the last years, received criticism for the use of isolation of a small group of prisoners with serious mental illness and strongly aggressive behavior instead of adequate healthcare treatment. Prisoners in Norway have the same right to healthcare services as the general population, obviously. The Norwegian correctional services are based on a model which implies that healthcare services are imported from municipal service providers. It is hence that the healthcare services that deliver healthcare services in Norwegian prisons. The correctional services shall facilitate the delivery of the various services. The government is recognizing that the use of isolation may have detrimental effects on our prisoners, and it is our goal to determine to reduce the use of isolation. Several measures have been put in place with the aim to remedy the situation. A resource team has been established. This team has a constant focus on the prisoners who are subject to prolonged isolation and is determined to facilitate less use of isolation and to put in place more meaningful activities for the prisoners in question. The situation for this group of prisoners has improved considerably, but there is still room for improvement. Some of the challenges require close cooperation between the healthcare services and the correctional services. The Directorate of Health and the Directorate of Correctional Services have cooperated on a report on the treatment of prisoners with mental illness and or substance abuse related problems. The report suggests various measures to improve the treatment of these prisoners. Some of them have already been implemented. It is stated in the government's political platform that the government will strengthen the psychiatric treatment of prisoners and limit the use of isolation. Both the Minister of Justice and the Minister of Health take this problem very seriously, and they cooperate actively in order to find acceptable solutions. In the 2019 budget, funds have been allocated to establish a national enforced community department where prisoners with strongly aggressive behavior and serious mental illness can be outside their cells together with other prisoners. The aim is to keep the use of isolation and other coercive measures at a minimum. There are currently 17 prisons with their own drug treatment unit for prisoners with substance abuse problems. In addition, there are separate outpatient clinics in the mental health care at the largest prisons. The available capacity in mental health treatment for inmates will be improved over the coming years by building new units for individuals with serious mental health illness. Let there be no doubt, our goal is that prisoners who are mentally ill shall be treated with dignity and receive adequate health care. Our neighboring country, Sweden, have in advance also asked what measures we are taking to combat gender-based violence against women and girls. I also could hear that other countries mentioned this issue in their statements earlier on. The government continues to strengthen efforts to combat gender-based violence. Specific action plans on combating violence and abuse, forced marriage and female genital mutilation guide this work. In 2016, the government presented a plan to step up efforts against violence and abuse, reduce the number of incidents and improve care for children who have been exposed to violence and abuse. Let me mention some of the measures we have taken. One, support centers for victims of crime have been established in all police districts. Two, 11 so-called children houses in different parts of the country provide treatment and follow-up, including child-friendly facilities for police interviews for children who have suffered violence and abuse. Three, the health service and school health services have been strengthened as an important means of exposing violence. We have improved treatment services for families and children who are exposed to violence and for the perpetrators. Four, Alternative to Violence is a non-profit, non-governmental organization that provides treatment and professional expertise on domestic violence. Today they have 13 offices in Norway. The Parliament in Norway has now provided funding for a new office in Finnmark, our northernmost region, with competence in Sami culture and Sami languages. Five, Research program on domestic violence, negative social control, forced marriage and female genital mutilation are ongoing. Six, a committee is reviewing intimate partner homicides and will be present recommendations for way of preventing new cases. 7. Cooperation has been established with the Sami Parliament on research into and measures to prevent violence in Sami communities, also a question mentioned by a couple of countries in this room. 8. A new national plan for child daycare centers states clearly that personnel must know how violence against children can be prevented and how to identify signs of abuse. 9. NGOs' efforts to combat forced marriage, female genital mutilation, and restrictions on young people's freedom have been strengthened. And finally, in March this year, the government presented an action plan to combat rape. In addition, the government will establish groups with expertise on domestic violence and sexual abuse in all police districts and develop a national strategy on competence building in the field of violence and abuse. Citizens who need help to rebuild their lives after experiencing sexual violence, negative social control, forced marriage, trafficking, or traumatic experiencing receive assistance from our social security system to start studying or find work and to assure a satisfactory standard of living. In 2015, the maximum sentence for abuse in close relationships was increased to 6 years and to 15 years for aggravated abuse. To meet the obligations of the Istanbul Convention, a penal provision on stalking has been introduced, and the penal provision on forced marriage has been amended. Norway ratified the Council of Europe Convention on Protection of Children Against Sexual Exploitation and Sexual Abuse, the so-called Lanzarote Convention, in May last year. And the convention entered into force on 1st of October, and Norway will provide its first report on the convention in June this year. The UK has in advance asked whether the government will adopt a legal definition of rape in the penal code that places the absence of consent at its centre. First, I would like to stress that the definition of sexual assault in the penal code is intended to apply to sexual activity without consent. The purpose is to ensure that sexual autonomy of the individual is respected. While the definition of rape does not include the wording without consent or words of to that effect, the provision describes circumstances that imply a lack of consent, such as violence or threatening conduct, or the victim being unconscious or for other reasons incapable of resisting the act. In this way, the provision on rape, along with other provisions on sexual violence, already comprises all practical situations in which the sexual autonomy of others have been violated. In Norway's view, the current regulation is in accordance with our international obligations. The issue of rape and consent has been considered by the government several times. In 2013, a proposal to amend the definition of rape to expressly include lack of consent was sent for consultation. Several consultative bodies, such as the Director of Public Prosecutions, argued that there was no practical need for such a change. In the end, the government decided not to propose such a change, as the proposal raised complicated questions that the government wanted to revisit at a later date. The government's action plan against rape states that the Ministry of Justice will consider whether to revise the chapter on sexual offences in the penal code. In connection with the review, it would be relevant to consider the wording of the penal provision on rape. However, an issue of vital importance is to ensure that the definition of rape is sufficiently clear and unambiguous. Thus, the introduction of a necessarily vague and complex concept such as without consent should be avoided. Thank you for attention. I give the floor to my colleague.